That chauffeur loved emergency stuff, and the long, low, wide racer took off with a deafening roar of unmuffled exhaust and a scream of tortured burning rubber. Two projectors flamed, sending out for miles ahead of the bellowing roadster twin beams of a redness so thick as to be felt, not merely seen. Simultaneously, the mighty four-throated siren began its ululating, raucously overpowering yell, demanding and obtaining right-of-way over any and all traffic, particularly over police, fire, and other ordinary emergency apparatus, which might think it had some rights upon the street.
"Thanks, Jack. You needn't wait."
At the hospital's door, Kinnison rendered tribute to fast service and strode along a corridor. An express elevator whisked him up to the 72nd floor, and there his haste departed completely. This was nurses' quarters, he realized suddenly. He had no more business there than... Well, yes, he did, too. He found room 7295 and rapped upon its door. Boldly, he intended, but the resultant sound was surprisingly small. "Come in," called a clear contralto. Then, after a moment, "Come in!" more sharply. But the lensman did not, could not, obey the summons. She might be... Damn it all, he didn't have any business on this floor. Why hadn't he called her up or sent her a thought or something? Why didn't he think at her now? The door opened, revealing the mildly annoyed sector chief. At what she saw, her hands flew to her throat, and her eyes widened in starkly unbelieving rapture. "Kim!" she shrieked in ecstasy. "Chris! My Chris!" Kinnison whispered unsteadily, and for minutes those two uniformed minions of the Galactic Patrol stood motionless upon the room's threshold, strong young arms straining, nurses crisp and spotless white crushed unregarded against Lensman's pliant gray. "Oh, I've missed you so terribly, my darling," she crooned. Her voice, always sweetly rich, was pure music. "You don't know the half of it. This can't be real. Nothing can feel this good." "You did come back to me. You really did," she lilted. "I didn't dare hope you could come so soon." "I had to," Kinnison drew a deep breath. "I simply couldn't stand it. It'll be tough, maybe, but you were right. Half a loaf is better than no bread." "Of course it is." She released herself partially after the first transports of their first embrace and eyed him shrewdly. "Tell me, Kim, did Lacey have a hand in this surprise?" "Uh-uh," he denied. "I haven't seen him for ages, but..." "Jet back. Haynes told me..." "Say, what'll you bet those two old hardheads haven't been giving us the works?"